listen, think, learn, grow. Listen, think, learn, grow. Live.
This is Metaphysical Universe, exploring science and spirituality with Dr. Douglas Kelly and Dr. Vicki Hunter.
Good evening and welcome to the Spirit of Life program for Wednesday, December 16th. My name is Michael Kelly and I'm here with Dr. Vicki Hunter.
Good evening, Michael. Glad to be here. We got a great show lined up again tonight.
We do. It's going to be a fantastic show. Welcome to those joining us live, and welcome to those listening to the archives as well. Spirit of Life is a weekly service and educational program of the International Church of Metaphysical Humanism. Our mission is to explore and empower the human spirit, as well as to explore science and spirituality. In addition to this broadcast, ICMH offers other educational programs that can be found at metaphysicsinstitute.org and tfuniversity.org. Now, as always, we're going to begin tonight with our nine principles of belief. And those are, one, do no harm, do right. Excuse me. Number two, we believe in the indomitable power of the human spirit. The answers we seek already exist within us. Number three, we believe that we alone are responsible for and capable of solving human social problems. Number four, we are all equal. One planet, one race, one ancestry, and one destiny. Number five, we recognize and honor the divine energy that exists in all living things. Number six, we are physical and spiritual beings. Consciousness survives death of the physical body. 7. Self-acceptance, self-responsibility, and respect for free will creates self-completeness. Number 8. Metaphysical and education and practical life skills empower the human spirit and enhance the human condition. And finally, 9. Expanding human consciousness leads to human evolution and peaceful coexistence. All right, so on to tonight's topic, Cryptids the Paranormal Part 2. And this is going to be a fun talk. Now, I know last week we definitively proved the existence of Sasquatch. So we're going to have to go above and beyond that tonight. So I know last week we did cover a lot of ground. When it comes to cryptids, we talked about, we talked about Bigfoot, of course. We talked about Sasquatch, talked about Yeti. We talked about the skunk ape. I think we managed to throw in a little bit about Mothman and a few inaccurate movie references, too. So I think we still have a lot of ground to cover.
Well, to be clear, there's three categories of cryptids, and maybe to be... You know, just to explain that a little bit, and one of them being water, the aquatic ones, which the Ogopogo would fall into, and the Loch Ness Monster, etc., you know, that those stories are based on. Terrestrial, of course, what we call the land ones, that's where the Sasquatch falls into, and Yeti, etc. And then the... what they call the winged ones. And something we didn't mention, I think, last week was about the Jersey Devil.
Mm.
Ooh. Some people think it's horse-like, you know, this, but it's kind of like a dragon. And I know I've heard lots of course, that's also, by the way, where the Mothman fits into as well. But this Jersey Devil, I think... Wasn't too long ago I saw some pictures of something that was going around the net about the photography, a video of this creature flying. And, you know, we could say it kind of looks like a condor or, you know, could be mistaken for any number of things, but it was a little weird. So, anyway, the Jersey Devil is in the category of the winged ones, too. So.
And that's always been an interesting one. The Jersey Devil goes back a long time. I'm going to look this up because I recall it being even prior to the Revolutionary War in colonial America. Does that ring a bell with you, Dr. Hunter?
In fact, they say that it's Pennsylvania area, New Jersey, Pennsylvania. So, yeah, all in those areas.
It looks like the first sighting was in 1735.
Ooh.
The Leeds family has been seeing them for a long time.
So that's why they call it the Leeds Devil. It's another name for it. So
very interesting. And there's, I think, you know, we have, there's such a plethora of different cryptids that we could go through. Jamil in chat had mentioned chupacabras, which is an interesting one. That is another one very common in terms of discussion, and it's, you know, firmly in the human imagination. I think of that more as a South American cryptid. Do you too, or would that also be in Central America?
I think in Central America also. I think.
Let's see. Look at a few notes. Looks like it's even been sighted in Puerto Rico. So, an island, I'm not sure where it could run off to. So, hopefully they were able to hunt that sucker down. But,
well, you know, again, though, when we're researching these things, it's really hard to come up with what science will acknowledge as evidence. So,
right.
And again, evidence being something repeatable, and can you find more of it, and can you find it? And nowadays, they look for something like a DNA. And some so-called evidence has been brought forward, and they analyze that DNA, it's comparable to something else, so they say, okay, not, you know, in the unknown category or new. So, you know, this is where when we start, getting into things like, again, cryptids, it has to be... I love the mythologies of these creatures.
And it speaks so much to the human psyche, and it speaks so much to, you know, so many common things to indigenous peoples from all over the world. And I don't simply mean indigenous to the Americas, but, you know, even ancient indigenous cultures in Europe, you know, pre-Roman cultures and different things like that. They have so much history when it comes to these creatures. And it's...
Dragons,
perfect, you know, and of course they have ideas that a dragon could be, you know, a hybrid of different ancient human predators.
Yep.
That kind of is in our psyche. But at the same time, keep your mind open, but acknowledge that, you know, I'm open to many things being possible. I will not say that I believe something to be true unless I have compelling reason to do so.
Well, you know, again, we get into what general science and contemporary science will recognize as factual versus what a lot of indigenous communities have always believed as a reality. And especially in the winged ones for cryptids, the Thunderbird, for example. You know, of course, every indigenous community I've ever met, the Thunderbirds are, shrug, real, you know. And creatures that perhaps used to live, you know, on Earth. So we can go into some, you know, prehistoric connections or, you know, however evolution has created animals and what's in the storytelling and, again, what the human mind translates. But that's normal, and to indigenous communities, any one of these quote-unquote cryptids would be real. But they would live in the other worlds, and very often that these creatures in other worlds will show themselves in this reality, or it is that people in this reality have enough intuitive ability where they would be able to see them. Very common. That's you know, kind of, again, shrug, natural, so what kind of thing in a lot of indigenous communities.
It it's a very interesting thought, you know, that you could have creatures that could inhabit different dimensions of existence. And I think that it's an interesting way to look at a lot of different, you know, mythological creatures, indigenous folklore, things that were true to our ancestors that we look as myth now. And again, you know, I'm very much open to these possibilities, and I think that we need to keep an open mind. Science is about what we know right now. It's not about the totality of knowledge. And I think anybody who's reasonable will admit that. And I was
go ahead, Mike.
Well, I was just going to say, and then we can kind of, this isn't necessarily an indigenous folklore idea, but also talking about, you know, like Loch Ness Monster and things like that. Mm. Which is kind of a different kind of cryptid, I think. But still kind of goes to the human fascination with the mysterious.
Well, science just determined a new species of whale, I think, off Australia. And that was just announced last week. So could it be that there are just things we don't know about yet? You know, that's all.
Yeah.
Or things in its evolution is just beginning to be shown to us, or we haven't looked for it before and now we are. You know, it's fascinating. And making that shift, though, in my reality, you know, what lives in the other worlds, mm-hmm. is when it comes to spirits. And yeah. I know that Ione has asked a question in there about what's the relationship of the manifestation of ghosts to consciousness. Well, if I understand kind of the general scope of that question is what we view is reality, you know, and being open to other realities, and that energy and frequencies of energy are entirely possible to you know, vibrate mm-hmm. at different levels. And we're back to, you know, do we really die when we die? And is there such right. thing as ghosts? And I very rarely use the term ghosts, because I feel like those are, you know, the actual spirits that manifest in a way that our consciousness can relate to. Or it is that that's an energy that we put an image to. For instance, mm-hmm. You have a friend who died. Does that friend really look like that now? No, but the consciousness relates to interpreting that energy with an appearance of what that individual looked like. Does that make sense?
Yeah, absolutely. And it's because, and this is, you know, I love Ion's question, because it's a great way to start into our second of our, you know, three topics tonight. We're going to kind of broach a few things, and delving into the paranormal, I think it's so interesting when we think about the possibility of our consciousness existing after our physical life. We kind of would go into the abstract, right? It would be a realm without form. We would be energy. And mm-hmm. when that is interpreted by a person who is still a physical being, we have to be able to relate it. And so we take yeah. this abstract idea of an essence, of a soul, of a thing, and we form it into a relatable image, into something that we can understand.
Well, you know, I just want to throw in a little story here about keeping the mind open and outside of our scope of what we interpret. A number of years ago, I told a friend of mine, who's an elder in a northern community, that I had been driving down the highway and looked up, and as real as day, I saw this strange bird that looked part owl, part hawk, part eagle, part something. And she says, oh, yeah, they're manifesting now. They're shifts in the energies. The universal energies are shifting. And I said, but what was it? She goes, I don't know, but we have seen that bird. Well, a few years later, I came across on the internet, and I've kept actually a link to it, and I bookmarked it, because it's the Poto bird. And I went, hey, that's the bird, and it lives in South America. Now, I had no reference to this in my mind. In the constructs of my consciousness, I had never seen this. I had never given any attention to it. But in my mind's eye, I saw that bird in a tree. It looked real to me, But obviously it was some kind of, you know, positive hallucination or some kind of energy and a frequency of energy that I put that image in. And again, how there are different shifts. Now, explain why I saw it up there in, you know, northern Canada. I have no idea, except that her interpretation, this elder's interpretation, was that in order to keep a balance of energy on the planet, different animals, whenever one goes extinct, another one manifests. And that's the belief, that there's a manifestation to sustain the frequency on Earth. So yeah. As, and of course the prophecy is that, you know, the more we destroy nature, we are rising in our consciousness when we have to, in order to balance that energy. So I think that, you know, it's kind of a never-ending discussion of possibilities, but I absolutely believe that we connect our primary conditioning in what we reference to what we believe we've seen.
Mm-hmm.
Ordinarily, that's, I think, what happens. And when there's something outside of your, you know, framework, you say, whoa, that's like in my unexplainable, but curiosity, you know?
Yeah.
So,
you know, it's just an interesting thing. It has been said, and I don't recall by whom, that we are not affected by reality, but by our perception of reality. And we should also acknowledge that different people have different levels of perception of reality, both in a, you know, materialistic sense of being able to peer into things we can just observe and being able to intuit things from behavior and things along those lines. But we also talk about people with perspectives when it comes to spiritual matters that are different from the norm, different from mine. I don't have any claim to any heightened perception when it comes to spiritual matters in the way that perhaps you do, Dr. Hunter, or other people have. You have just had an uncanny habit of honing in on things that I don't understand, and I wouldn't be able to duplicate.
There, no, I don't understand it either.
I mean, I can gauge a lot by behavior, body language, context, and things like that, but I can't see into things in the way that other people can. And I'm aware of that, and perhaps that'll change over time, but...
I think there's a couple of reasons for that, honestly, and I think part of it is... it can happen at any time. Like, I drowned when I was 5, so I had that altered, otherworldly, yes, near-death experience. And in the indigenous communities, they say that I'm one who walks with a thin veil between the worlds. Now, I'm not alone with that. And there's lots of accounts of people who've had some kind of altered experience that changed that reality, or the perceptions of reality, and open to other psychic experiences or psychic-type experiences. But I think the other is what we're nurtured to be more of at a very young age. Everybody is born intuitive to a varying degree, unless, of course, there's some other kind of physiology that prevents you from it. But
is it because I was a ginger when I was a kid? Is that why?
Yeah. You're smarty. I think religion has a lot to do with it.
Yeah.
And the fear of, you're not... You know, you can't see angels. That's only for those who are chosen by God, you know, all that kind of stuff. So it's minimalized. And, of course, then as children ground into this reality, the preoccupation is more about, you know, learning about boys and girls and life and other stuff that your intuition really isn't.
I will say that, you know, the opposite sex or the same sex or... androgynous, we're all accepting here, but when you're a teenager, I'm pretty sure that anything like that would completely distract you from the paranormal and the right situation. But you know, it's interesting, and you kind of bring this back around to ghosts. I mean, so being able to have that veil lifted a little bit between life and death, seeing, you know, the other side a little bit as you were, I guess let's ask, do you have any experiences where you observed an apparition or felt a, you know, a very strong presence of somebody that had passed that you'd like to talk about?
Oh, Michael, all the time. I mean, that's my normal. And, I mean, that's been happening since
I
was a child. And the thing is, when people, you know, very often call me and say, hey, you know, the spirits are on me, I said, that's great. And then they want to clear the house and want them to go away. I said, why? I love that, you know.
Yeah.
I never feel alone because, you know, they're around. If something is disruptive or mischievous, there's other kinds of energies. Well, no, I don't want that around. You know, I decide who's going to hang around my house.
Yeah. You know, it's...
Some just passed through. I have seen people as clear as day, as clear as I'm having a conversation, let's say, with you on Skype. That's somebody who appears. Other times, I must say, more often, it's... a sense or a feeling, and everybody is a little bit more psychic in different ways. Clairaudient, you know, the list is long. That's, we've had those shows before where we talked about that, but I can hear them, or it is that there's other things put into my head, like words or pictures or things, and I can relate to it by smell or something. You know, I was, in fact, I'm helping a friend down at her shop because it's really busy down there and, you know, a few hours. And yes, it's all social distancing, masked up. It's all good, everybody. And
it better be.
And it was rather slow one day, and she'd gone into the back, and I heard this little girl talking. And I looked around, nobody's there. And I went to the back. I said, did you just hear her? She goes, oh, you heard her. I said, yeah, I heard her. Little girl. She said, yeah, I've heard her many times. There's also a guy that walks by here with this big overcoat. I said, well, I haven't seen him. She said, I've seen him lots. Hmm. And it's like one of those moments where it's ordinary for her, but she doesn't think anybody else can hear it. Now, me, in my world, I just talk about it. And she's not always comfortable to talk about it with people,
yeah,
right? Because they think you're a little bonkers.
Ostracized.
We both heard, and I said, well, she said something. There was a pause, like somebody answered her, and I didn't hear it. There was nothing I could hear. And then she answered him, and I assumed it was a him. She goes, I heard that too. It was as clear as you speaking right now. And it's like, I said, well, how come I can't see her, Sharon? I said, I don't like it when I can't see them. You know,
it's such an interesting relationship with, you know, these different things. And, you know, when you were talking a little bit earlier about, you know, some of them you like, some of them you just want to go away and you, you know, shoo them off.
Yeah.
It makes me think about neighborhood cats. Yeah, sometimes they're nice, sometimes they're mean, but they're never really a threat.
You're funny. Unless it's a... could be a bobcat wanting to eat your cat. You never know.
Well, I guess that would be a demon as opposed to a spirit, a bobcat. And then I guess, we can keep going. But, you know, Fran put an interesting thing, and the word comes to mind. It's a fancy pants word. I hope I use it correct. Olfactory indicators. Someone's cologne or perfume.
Yes. Yep.
Sweet. Nailed it.
I visit when I have, before COVID, visited a friend's house. There's very often a smell of a cigar, and nobody smokes in her house. And I say, hey, you smell the cigar? And she'll pause and say, yeah, he's back. Okay.
You know what it was for me? My grandmother's perfume.
Grandma, I would smell visiting.
That. Yeah, and this was after she'd passed. And again, you know, I'm the kind that I just put it to my imagination, because it could be, maybe not. But,
well, now here is a purely psychological explanation, that somewhere in our consciousness we have a thought of somebody and our sense is activated.
Mm-hmm.
It's entirely possible, when understanding the mechanisms of the mind, I'm just throwing it out there, not that I'm all for this, I'm just saying it's possible, that your unconscious has thought about grandma, and then the first thing you do is relate to her smell and, oh, perfume, grandma's perfume. 'Cause we are so organic in how we interpret things. I think that that is a slight possibility, and I'm just playing devil's advocate here, that because to me it happens at random, and somehow I was not thinking of grandma, and whoa, where did that come from?
Yeah, and you know, it's again, something that I think is interesting, but I have to acknowledge the fact that the human mind is incredibly powerful and can manifest these things. But at the same time, you know, it is interesting how these things happen, you know, sometimes out of the blue, or when we can kind of break out of ghosts for a moment and talk about just connections between, you know, energies, between spirits, between souls, living or dead. When you think about somebody and then they call. Right? How often does that happen, and how unusual is that?
Quantum entanglement.
Exactly. And does that, if we're going to entertain the idea of life in a cohesive fashion after death, after the physical form, does that quantum entanglement end?
Ah, see? Another good way to view it, and a good question to ask. Because I think energetically, and again, we're back to the soul living on in, in some form, that we do continue on, you know, that that relationship in a way. I think so.
Yeah.
So.
And we're, go ahead. I think you might have been going the same direction.
I was just going to segue into what, and again, I'm going to reference back to indigenous communities, that sky people. You know, all kinds of species of sky people are very real, and they just shrug it off like, yeah, so what? Hey, did you see that UFO last night? And they look at you and say, yeah. And it's like, normal. We see them all the time. Yeah, no big deal.
That was Phil. He's from Mount Alpha Centauri. He comes by every other week, you know. But, but you know, it's, that is by far a better segue than I could have done into our next segment of the topic tonight. And it is interesting that, again, what we think of is kind of a modern phenomena. UFO sightings, aliens, alien abductions, Roswell. You can find a precedent in indigenous cultures. Again, indigenous cultures from around the world. The original, you know, pre-modern cultures, you can go as far back in the older world to the Egyptians. It, you know, famously, there are hieroglyphs of, you know, futuristic technology, an airplane, what people suppose to be a helicopter. And of course, it's subjective. You can put your own, you know, human beings want to find patterns. We want to relate to things. But it's pretty hard to deny. So it's an interesting thought. You have the sky people that you mentioned. There are the incidents, I think, in the Hebrew and Christian Bible. Mm-hmm. That refer to, you know, UFOs, essentially. What is...
isn't there also several biblical paintings that have what appears to be a UFO?
Yeah, absolutely. And it's it's an interesting, it's an interesting concept that it goes far back, and we didn't begin to truly relate it to extraterrestrial life as we would know life until we were able to even think of that as a concept. Before we were able to conceive that life could grow on other planets, we would interpret it as visitors from a different plane or gods or any number of things, you know, perhaps even spirits. So it's just interesting that as our culture evolves, we begin to see things in a different light. Now we have UFO sightings. We don't see the sky people. We see UFOs. We have a more modern dressing for it. But it's something that kind of goes back a long ways.
Well, I'm watching in the chat people talking about, I think Dr. Steven has brought up rods, captured on camera images.
I've actually heard of those, yeah.
Yeah, and Iona is saying that she's heard of that too, et cetera. And so I'm just trying to keep up with our chat room is awesome. We've got all these conversations going on, so I love that. But, you know, before we go any further, I'm just going to say right now, anybody who'd like cards pulled tonight, please put your name in the chat while we carry on, and then we'll be ready.
Yeah, that's so, absolutely. That's thinking ahead, working smarter, not harder.
Yeah. I have... since I was little, seen things in the sky, and especially in my late teens, to me, it just was always normal that there would be beings in other dimensions and sky people. And I've talked to so many, people who've seen them, that to me it's a given. There are, as research has proved, some of these things can be logically explained. I get that. I'm totally on board with that. But I'm talking about times even back in the 60s and the 70s, and we could go way back, before we had film, pretty much, and
it would have to be passed along orally, from storyteller to storyteller about what they had seen.
Absolutely. So I find it difficult to believe that ETs or intergalactic can be dismissed that easily, when it goes back that far.
And we haven't even gotten into the Galactic Federation that's not going to accept us until we grow up, people. Let's, evolve as a society so we can join the Federation. I want warp drive. I want to see some of these different places like Ryza. Let's do it. Let's make it happen.
Well, I'm on board with that. But we've just got a pack of names here happening
in the
chat, Michael.
We do.
We better get at it. And I'm happy to do that. Anybody in the newcomers, people in the archives listening, Michael pulls one of the Inner Oracle Self-Discovery cards designed by Dr. Kelly. And I back that up with a tarot card, and we see what kind of story we've got.
We see what kind of insight we can touch on. Mm-hmm. Offer whatever insight we can, but also just to make you think about things that are going on right now. I'm just kind of... it is Dr. Edward. I was going to say Fran, but I missed Dr. Edward. Thank you, Dr. Hunter.
That's because I'm on top of things, Michael.
Well, of course you are. I had another comment I was going to make.
What have you got?
All right, let's see. Wild card number 4. Good start, unknowable.
Oh, gee.
Let's see.
Yeah.
There are mysteries in the universe. Not all can be known or predicted. A focus of deliberate intent can reveal valuable, unforeseen knowledge for what lay ahead. Remember, we only see what we know and believe. The universe is unfolding in ways that are unknowable to your existing ways of thinking. Change your mind and you change your world. Change your mind and what was once unknowable may now be knowable. Listen to the subtle leadings and incitations of your higher self. What was once unknowable is now knowable. Remain flexible and open to change. I love that card, and it goes right along with, we are affected by our perception of reality. So we change our perception.
Mm-hmm. Well, in support of that, Edward, I got the Page of Pentacles. Page of Diamonds in a regular deck. And to me, pages are all communication cards, right? They're bridges, so to speak, between the minor and the major arcana. And in this case, as a support to unknowable, it would be talking about the physical world, perhaps, that you got going on, perhaps money. But it could also be about acquisition or the growing of acquisitions and stability. So it's saying here, pay attention to the small things and go with your instincts and your intuition and how that talks to you, and being open to things in ways that you wouldn't have ordinarily thought of. Sometimes it is about letting your own flow keep going and not necessarily breaking with what's on your frequency. Because sometimes we want what other people have, right? Or we want something else, but it's a little bit outside our frequency. So I'm saying just stay on your frequency and listen to your intuition, and you're growing. You're growing finances or possessions. I like that. We have Fran. Glad to have you back, Fran. We've been thinking about you. What do you got for Fran, Michael?
All right. Fran, tonight, number 39, education.
All right.
You know, I know that Dr. Edward had said that that is a common card for him, I believe unknowable, and I have a feeling I pulled this one for Fran in the past. Might have been a while, but it just rings a bell, so let's see.
Okay.
Continual education is the key to individual and collective consciousness and personal success. Commit yourself to lifelong learning, educating yourself continually. If you don't know something, first look for the answers yourself, then ask if necessary. Gain education and advice through various sources, including people, but always strive to find your own answers. Look for lessons in life experience, situations, and circumstances. Make it your adage to listen, think, learn, grow, and live.
What's really interesting, Fran, is I pulled two cards at once, so you get them both. King of Spades, which is the King of Swords, and the Sun. Now, I don't always, a lot of people look at the King of Spades and they go, ooh, you know, that's bad. I don't see it as that. I see it as an assertive energy. And not necessarily always aggressive, but assertive is good. But next to the Sun is growth. So it's that continued learning and the continual growth, but perhaps in as there may be an ally for you. And in this case, for a male energy, and who would help you to bring some ideas out and continue to learn in application. That's what I want to say, is that you're applying what you've learned, but continuing to learn. But I think that somebody here is your ally, and it's somebody with, let's say, a complementary energy that would make things happen. Somebody of action. Well, I think some interesting vibes going on around you, Fran. I like that.
Yeah, sure.
Ione, we have next. What have you got?
All right. Let's see. I have number 7, self-mastery.
All right.
I think it might have been a little bit since we pulled this one. To know who you are and why you are who you are is self-actualization. To choose and walk your own path is self-determination, giving inner peace. Not allowing others to dictate your behavior is self-control. Remain true to your convictions. This is self-mastery towards the path of self-completeness.
I have magician as a support energy to self-mastery. Whew, that's what I have to say on that. I own that. That's transformation, right? That's alchemy. I always think of turning something really crappy into something really good. And so you're able to apply yourself in a way and I think that's happening now and that's coming up. Apply yourself in a way that makes something really powerful happen. But it's in your creation, you're learning about yourself and feeling confident, you know, to put that into motion, even though what appears to be negative is really a positive. So I feel like you're on the verge of something really good. So, now, if I have this pronunciation correct, Venicio, Dr. Venicio.
I believe it's Venizio.
Venicio, glad to have you here. What have you got for Dr. Venicio, Michael?
I have number 41, communication.
Good one.
All right, communication. The most important form of communication is with the higher self, reflecting on one's spiritual evolution. A good communicator both listens and speaks equally, interactively, and with interest. A poor communicator either talks too much or listens too much. A lack of communication will kill any relationship, and this is the most effective method for ending an unhealthy relationship. Assertive communication is direct, honest, empathetic, and focuses on win-win. Communication, along with trust, is one of the two most important relationship traits.
Ooh, in support of that, Three of Hearts, so the Three of Cups in tarot language. Venicio, this is about celebration, people coming together, organizing. That's what I'm feeling for you. So you're becoming more of a communicator in a different way. And what I'm seeing here is your collective of people is growing. And, you know, I always say if you got a few good people in your circle, you're rocking it. That's awesome. But I feel like something is expanding there, and it's, I want to say celebration type. It's all really good and positive. So you have some, I think, some nice things happening and certainly about to happen. I just want to say speak on your own behalf. Make sure you do that. That's what I'm compelled to say. So we have, that makes sense to you. You know, Michael, I see that there's some ideas going around in the chat. And that, you know, to compare when we've had pulled other cards and suggesting that you do a spreadsheet. And I'm thinking, I don't know, you got way too many screens going on. You think of multitasking more than that.
Well, Wendy had graciously volunteered. We might have to figure out a way to do it. Definitely, I think it's an interesting idea because there are cards that show up repeatedly for different people. And, and you know, I don't know how. I mean, I randomly just kind of shuffle the cards as I'm sitting here. I'll listen to Dr. Hunter. I'll listen to you, you know, give some insight on a different card that you just pulled. And I'm just randomly shuffling, and I wait until I, you know, draw for that person to try to focus in on it. And it just comes out. It's fascinating. All right.
You've just been asked the ultimate question by Jamil, is what's your specialization in metaphysics, Michael? What is the thing that interests you the most that you pursue to study?
That's all tough. Well, it is all of it. I mean, especially in my situation of having, you know, worked with you, Dr. Hunter, with Dr. Kelly, I've gone over so much of it. But you know, it's really the things that let us peer behind the veil that always intrigue me the most. Mm. But, yeah, that's definitely something to touch on in a later time. But it's just a fascinating field, and it's so varied.
Yeah. I love it. It is. Yeah. Well, right. Speaking of Jamil, he just asked that question, but he's next on the list for choosing a card, Michael.
All right. And I have number 29, Pay It Forward.
Good one.
Living with gratitude and responsibility extends generosity to others, even with random acts of kindness that offer no self-benefit except the satisfaction of heartfelt kindness. This may be a time to calm the spirit and lift the heart by giving it forward without any particular reason, reminding yourself that love is the center of all life. Is there a way that you can pay it forward right now?
I got Temperance as a support energy for that, Jamil. I want to say go with the flow and keep giving forward. And even though you feel that maybe at times you're not, it's not being reciprocated, know that that energy is out there and you do get it back in some other form. I know you probably don't need me to say this to you, but, you know, if you give a dollar, it doesn't mean you get a dollar back. It means that you get a different energy back. And sometimes we all need that reminding, though. And this is saying to me that, you know, if you go with the flow, just know that your good deeds have not gone unnoticed. So you might feel some stress these days at times, you know, in certain moments of the day. But this too shall pass, and you're going to get through this. And just go with the flow one day at a time. I hope that makes sense to you.
Very nice.
Well, and now our resident special cook is next.
You know, I don't think we got tonight's menu, and I really feel like I'm missing out. But
me too. What's on the menu tonight, Wendy?
Despite not getting it, I'm still going to pull a card. I feel you deserve that. So, this is interesting. Take and release ownership. Mm-hmm. Now, I don't know if we pulled that for Wendy, but I feel like we pulled that one recently. So this spreadsheet idea is going to come. It's going to come in handy.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Number 34. Ownership and entitlement are not the same. Ownership is taking responsibility with a healthy attitude. Entitlement is expecting more than what is earned. Further, codependence is taking an unhealthy ownership for other people's problems and feelings. This may be a time to reflect on owning only what is yours and releasing the rest.
You know, Wendy, I got the Tower in support of that. Now, I like that, so I hope you're not freaking out for a moment saying, oh, the Tower, oh no. One thing about the Tower retains its foundation. So if there's anything extraneous that no longer belongs to, you know, let's see, your best interests or what's good for your spirit, it falls away. It's no longer useful. And so it's like releasing ownership in those ways. And the Tower, though, has a foundation. You know who you are. You have all those basic things in your life that you require. And you have that power and strength. So if you feel like there's some things crumbling around you and letting go, I say let it go, you know, and because you know who you are. So I think it's good that we shed our skin sometimes, but there is a little grieving process. You know, how come that friend never calls me anymore? Or how come that other thing doesn't work for me anymore? And that's just because it no longer belongs to your higher good.
Why doesn't Dr. Hunter ever return my emails anymore? Did I do something wrong? I get it.
Return everybody to do that. I'm kidding. I hope that makes sense to you, Wendy. Wendy just shared that it was tonight's menu.
Go ahead.
Baked chicken and sweet potatoes with broccoli and Brussels sprouts. And she said, and I got the lemon in a paper cut. Ouch.
Well, with great craft comes some sacrifice. But, you know, I had dinner not too long ago, and I'm already feeling hungry again, Wendy, so that just sounds fantastic. But
you know, for what it's worth, I got a paper cut yesterday. I was doing some Yuletide baking, and I got a paper cut with parchment paper, so that I wasn't happy about that. So there's a limited amount that you can do with a Band-Aid on.
That's very true.
The way I did things for sure. Okay, we have Kevin up next. Nice to have you here, Kevin.
All right. Shuffling, and let's see what we have. Oh, number 43, expediency. Timing is everything. Some things call for expediency, others require us to slow down. If you have a problem, you can take care of it now or suffer longer and still take care of it later. It takes courage to face important matters when timing and opportunity avail, and wisdom to know when to slow down to assess the correct action before acting promptly. For success in anything, do what you should do when you should do it.
Ace of Wands, or the Ace of Clubs in support of that, Kevin. I like it. Achievement. So knowing when to get on the ball kind of thing. Know when to step forward, know when to step back. And through that, I'd say the use of your good senses and your good judgment, achievement and success is assured. Now, I want to very often remind people in those moments, though, always take inventory about how far you've come. Give yourself that, as Dr. Kelly would say, that little pat in the back and say, this is good and I'm going to keep progressing. I'm growing as a human being and I am making that progress in my life that I want to. So expediency just says, you know, stay on it and know when to move forward and say, yeah, no more procrastinating, no more putting it off. It's like, you know when you need to act. Mm-hmm. So go for it. Sherry is next, Michael.
All right. And number 38, open-mindedness. Let's see, number 38. An open mind is sensible and grounded. An open mind avoids preconceived notions, especially ones that are based on a personal agenda, a pet theory, or a preferred belief. An open mind is not gullible or credulous. Rather, an open mind thinks critically and searches for additional possibilities. It absorbs knowledge and searches for credible solutions and conclusions. Very interesting.
Well, I got the Queen of Diamonds in support of that. Sherry, Queen of Pentacles. Stay open-minded about other ways to move forward in your career, finances, and any ways that might be even entrepreneurial. I want to say that word, so I'm going to go with it.
Very nice.
Thank you. So it's like opening your mind to new ideas. So there may be some other things that come your way that ordinarily in the past you would have, no, I can't do that. No, I don't want to. But this is saying, you know, ooh, it's there and there would be benefits to it. Yeah, I think in more ways than just finances, a good challenge for yourself. And you say, wow, that's really fun. I like doing that. So I think that there's new things coming for you. Open-mindedness.
Very nice.
Well, I think the last on our list is Audra. What have you got for Audra, Michael?
All right. Oh, by the way, there was a question in the chat, Dr. Stephen. You asked, do I put the cards back in the deck after I pull them? The answer is sometimes. I often will, but sometimes I don't. I have no real rhyme or reason to it, but I often do. And as Wendy correctly pointed out, I have pulled the same card twice in an evening. So,
well, all right. I'm going to confess that I do not. I take those cards out and set them aside.
Yes.
I figure there's 78 cards. If something of a similar meaning is going to come out, it will come out. Different expression of the same thing. Because I think that's, and then it's always open to interpretation, right? Everything
yeah,
is.
Yeah, so, absolutely.
That's, I'm just fessing up to my end. And by the way, we're getting to you, Audra. Hang on a sec. I do believe I have a collection of all these cards on paper written down here, Michael, so we could already start our spreadsheet.
Oh, really? That's fascinating.
I don't think I have the dates on them. But I have, because I do write down everything as we go when I set them aside.
I do too, but the problem is I restart the note sheet every time on my, Word. So I should save it for each broadcast we do. You learn.
I use paper.
Yeah.
I'm old school.
I use it's like a kind of paper that's on the screen.
Okay.
All right, Audra. Audra, we promised you we were going to pull a card, and we finally have. It's number one, perfection.
Oof.
All right.
I love it.
Always remember that you are perfect just as you are, a perfect work in progress, always changing and growing. Today is a reflection of past choices, and tomorrow is changeable by choices made today. This card may indicate that a situation is either perfect or not perfect for you. Embrace all mistakes as they are vital to your growth while striving for a better future. Reflect to see what contributes to your perfect journey and move forward gracefully.
In support of that, Audra, I got the Ten of Hearts, which is the Ten of Cups. And, you know, I like the visual on this on the Rider-Waite. And it's basically this family looking up at this rainbow of cups. And so when it comes to perfection and family, I think it, especially at this time of year, you might be reflecting on your place in family, your role, your relationships, the dynamic, and so on. And sometimes you just want to set all caca stuff aside and just be in the love of it. And I know a lot of families are distancing at the moment, so there's other vehicles like Skype and Zoom and all kinds of ways that you still can be connected with other people. So in that, in and of itself, it's very perfect. So, you know, when it comes to family, you are perfect the way you are. Just be yourself and let other people be who they are, too. And I know that's tough sometimes when you say, I don't. Hey, actually, it's another good thing. If you don't like old Uncle Joe, you don't have to see him this year. What a great thing.
Silver linings.
So I hope that makes sense in some way. But, you know, perfection, you know, it's hard to imagine that there's some mastery of perfection going on that when we're all in these really crazy times. But there is, you know, everything is a balance in some universal level, and you have to just trust in that. You know, Kevin's asked me a question. I want to answer this question. He's saying, do you feel you are making these predictions based on an intuitive sense of their higher levels of consciousness involved? Both the same thing, Kevin. One is the same as the other. I think that if I really try to analyze it, I lose it. So I don't try to think about it too much. I think the tarot is a catalyst. It is the jump starter to an intuitive thought. And so where that comes from, my consciousness that's always connected to other consciousness, which is intuitive, I mean, I'm not sure. Trust me, I have a very pragmatic side to me. I like to be grounded. I like to be sensible and understand how these things work. But when it's there, I just go with it. Mm-hmm. And if I analyze, oh, where did that come from? What am I going to do with it? How do I say that? Then I lose it. You know, it's that automatic kind of, exchange that has to happen, and trusting myself that it must apply because it's there. But again, I know who I am, so, you know, if I'm not trying to compete, I'm not trying to be smart, I'm not trying to, you know, be right, I'm just trying to be with you. And as long as I know that and try to take every individual, every moment for what it is in that moment, then the trust is there. If my brain is somewhere else, if I'm thinking of somebody else, then I'm not going to be accurate for you. So that's what I mean by I know myself. So, you know, right here now. So I hope that answers your question. It's good for me to try to articulate that too.
It's a thought experiment. It's how do you define it?
Yeah, exactly.
Which is a challenge in and of itself, isn't it?
It is. Well, you know, this hour, we have been on for an hour. Thanks for everybody for staying with us. But, you know, we love being here with you. And
surely it hasn't been that long. Surely you can't be serious, but it is. It is.
We're going to be here with you through the holidays. Michael and I have had a talk about this. And ordinarily in the past, we have taken time off. I think we mentioned that before last week. But I'm just going to reassure everybody here. We know you're home. We know you're, hanging out. And for some of you, as much as it is for ourselves, we're connected and being here for each other. So we are going to be here next week, the week after, and the week after.
I mean, but next, sorry. I'll be here. I might phone it in, but I'll be here.
We're next week going to talk about Yuletide. It'll be 2 days after. That's okay. Mm-hmm. We're going to talk about Yuletide at this time of year and how to check in with ourselves in this wonderful time of quiet where everything is just bubbling up to grow again.
Oh, yeah, so, absolutely. I'm looking forward to kind of delving into the idea of Yuletide and also the winter solstice or winter era holidays or, days of ceremony from history, from different parts of the world. I'm looking forward to kind of delving into it. And we're going to talk about how we're just going to keep it to a tight 30 minutes. And we're probably going to go an hour next week, too. So we'll see how it goes.
I will be ready to share with you how my family and I shared Monday, which is the 21st, because that's when we have our celebration is on December 21st or 22nd, however the Yule falls. That's where we do it, and it's Monday. So I will tell you, I'll share with you what our traditions have been and what my grandkids do and, you know, how they're learning and what that experience is for them in a primarily Christian community, because I think that's part of the discussion too. So.
Yeah, absolutely. I'm really looking forward to it.
Yeah.
I mean, I wasn't before, but now I especially am. But, all right. Well, listen, guys, thanks for hanging in there with us. Thanks for joining us for a great discussion. Thank you for adding to that discussion in the chat, throwing your ideas out there, you know, and giving us some more things to talk about. We love the content. So thank you so much. And thank you, Dr. Hunter, for another great discussion.
Thank you, Michael. You're awesome.
Saying that. But we look forward to having you all join us next week. We're going to be working on that spreadsheet. We'll touch base with you guys. Join us next week. Until then, listen, think, learn, grow, and live. Good night, everyone.
Good night, everybody.